Good morning, church. Y'all feel the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in here this morning? It's an amazing thing when God's children are obedient. The Spirit gets poured out. The more obedient we are, the more Spirit gets poured out, the more we're able to feel His power and presence at work and in the congregation and in our lives. You know, we got the awesome opportunity to watch people get baptized into the family this morning, and it's just phenomenal. First service, we got to see people get baptized as well, and the Holy Spirit was just moving. That song at the end, Fall Like Rain, I just feel the power of the Spirit moving in this place today. And man, that's what we all want, right? Just to bask in the presence of the Lord, to feel that power being just surrounding us and feel that anointing that He pours upon us, and just to bask in the presence of the Lord, be surrounded by Him. It's an amazing thing. My name is Chris Miller. I am on staff here at Connection Church. And it's my pleasure and my honor to be able to bring you all the message this morning. The message this morning is going to be on anointing. Brandon brought us a great message last week on the anointed and taught us a lot of good things, but we would be amiss if we did not study the anointed one. Whenever we look at anointing in our lives and on the lives of the people around us without studying Jesus, we would not be able to have a proper understanding of what the anointing looks like in our life or looks like on someone's life and what that empowers them to do. So this morning, we're going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at the anointed one. He is the one that was prophesied to be sent. The first thing that I want to talk about this morning is the theme of this message is that the life of Jesus Christ, the life that He lived when He was walking here on earth, is a pattern for the Christian life. It's a pattern for my life. It's a pattern for your life. The things that He did while He was here is the things that we should be doing in our life. Our life should be a mirror of Christ's life here on earth. The life of every believer should be patterned after Jesus. Not in deity. We're not gonna achieve deity status, unfortunately. But what we are required to mirror in our life is the prophecy, the purpose, anointing, and finally the assignment that God has put on each one of our lives. And that assignment's different for each one of us. Some people are called to be pastors. Some people are called to be prophets. Some people are called to be missionaries. Some people are called to be missionaries right where they work. And sometimes that's a difficult topic for us to understand, is that mission work is not just overseas. Mission work is where God has us, where we are at right now. Every believer's life is meant to look like Jesus' life. And through the power of the Spirit working in us, the anointing that God puts on our life, He molds us and shapes us into the image of Christ more and more every day. You begin to notice that the things that you used to like after you come to faith, you don't quite like those things anymore. The jokes that you used to laugh at, they're not quite as funny. The songs that we used to listen to and really thought were really lit, I mean, those lyrics really, they just don't sound the same anymore. It doesn't sound like really something that I want to be associated with any longer. And that's good. That's a great thing. That's the Spirit working in our lives, molding us and shaping us more into the image of Jesus. In Christian circles, they call that sanctification. It's a purification. The Spirit burning in us, burning out the old, so He can bring in the new. So new life can be birthed in each side of one of us, that we can go forward proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go. Jesus is not only our Savior, although He is, He's also our example of what our life should look like. If our life traces the same journey as Jesus' life, when we get to heaven, we are for sure going to hear, good job, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let me see if I can jumble that up any worse this morning. I pray for your grace upon that this morning. My tongue got a little tied. So I'm going to break this down into four parts. The prophecy of Jesus Christ, the first is foretold. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see the proto-evangelium, which is just a fancy Greek word for the first gospel message. It's the first place in the Bible that God proclaims that he is going to bring a Savior into the world. We know from John chapter 14 that in the beginning was the Word, right? The Word was with God and the Word was God. So even in the very beginning of time, the Word was already present. The Word was already present. Divine being, God in three persons, right? We got the Father, the Word, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was no surprise when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they ate the wrong fruit. Many times in my life, God tells me, you can do anything you want except that one thing, and that's the one thing that my flesh craves really, really bad. If we're honest with ourselves, a lot of us can relate to that very same thing. Adam and Eve fell. It brought sin into the world. It was no surprise to God. God knew that from the very beginning. That's why the Word was with God and the Word was God from the very beginning. God promises to bring us a Savior in Genesis 3:15. That first promise came in the Garden of Eden shortly after man sinned. He told us that Savior was going to crush the serpent's head. That serpent was going to strike at his heel. But that's not the only thing. You know, we look at that and we're like, yeah, that was about Jesus. What about me? What about my life? Well, I want you to know that your life was foretold as well. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, says that just as Jesus' life was foretold, yours was too. It reads this: before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God, in his infinite wisdom, knowing the beginning from the end, he knew where each one of you all were going to be today. He knew that we were going to be right here, that I was going to be right here, you were going to be right there, and we were going to be talking about the Word of God. Where you're at in life, God knows where you're at. He's got you there for a reason. He knew you before you were created in your mother's womb, and he's got things for you to do. God has things for you to do. The Bible says that God already has good works for us to complete, that he's already ordained for us to do. All we have to do is walk into them. The one thing we cannot do is try to walk into those in our own power. The anointing of the Holy Spirit on each one of our lives is what gives us the power to walk into those things that God has for us. It's what gives us the power to accomplish the things that God has for us. John 15:5 tells us that without God, we can do nothing. If we do not remain in the vine, getting that sap from the Lord that strengthens us and nourishes us and grows us, we cannot accomplish what God's called for us to accomplish. So point 1.5 this morning would be to stay in the vine. Remain in Christ in all that you do, so that way we can be full of what we need to accomplish the goals that God has set before us in our life. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ dies for us. I want you all to remember this morning, remember that God's plan of salvation was always Jesus Christ. It was never following rules. It was never sacrificing animals. It was never living up to all these laws that we can't do. It's all grace. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by him, for him. The second thing that I want to outline this morning is there was an outpouring. Jesus' anointing, when he was baptized, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Actually, I want to read further than that. I want to start at verse 16. This is the baptism of Jesus before his ministry started. I want you to get that before his ministry started, he went to John the Baptist, who was baptizing people in the Jordan River and wanted to get baptized. He goes back to Nazareth. So in verse 16, he went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, wait a minute, I am so sorry. I'm reading the next one, chapter 3, verse 21. I apologize for that. The baptism of Jesus, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying. Heaven was opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Church, I want you to understand this morning, that just as God the Father looked down upon Jesus and told him, "Today you are my son, with you I am well pleased," the day of our salvation, God the Father looks down at each one of us and he proclaims the very same words over you. When you were stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit, God looked at you and he prayed for you from heaven by name, and he said, "Today you are my son. Today you are my daughter. With you I am well pleased." It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, that God looks down from heaven on each one of us who are a nothing, and he prays over us on our day of salvation, telling us that we're in his family now, and that with us he's well pleased. What's the enemy like to do with that? He likes to stick his finger in that and wiggle it around and condemn. Tell us that, what kind of Christian are we when we did this? What kind of Christian are we when we thought this? He wants to keep us from realizing that love that God has for each one of us. Because whenever we don't realize that, when we're not walking in that love of God, when we're not allowing that anointing to be poured out upon us and walk in the Spirit, then we become unusable by God. The things that he has for us to walk into, we don't get them accomplished. We have to remain in union with the Lord. The Holy Spirit came upon and descended on Jesus like a dove. Whenever we are saved, we get that same deposit of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. God himself comes by the power of his Spirit, and he lives right here in our heart. Stamped, sealed, forever until the day of redemption. Stamped and sealed forever. God's got us in the palm of our hand. The Bible tells us that nothing can snatch us out. The next thing that happened with Jesus was amazing. The same Spirit that rested upon him and anointed him to do his missionary work led him into a wilderness place where he was tested and tried by the enemy for 40 days. So I've got a question for y'all this morning. How many of you in here have received salvation of the Lord and you feel like you've been put into a wilderness place? I know it happens to me all the time. Lord, where are you at? Why am I going through this? Why does this feel so hard? Lord, I don't like this. I don't like this pressure that's on me. I don't like feeling alone right here. God, where are you at? I've been praying. I'm not hearing anything. It's our time of testing. It's our time of growth. See, before God sent Jesus on his missionary mission in life, he let the enemy test him. Brothers and sisters, God will let the enemy test us as well. If you feel like that you're in a desert spot right now, that you are distant from God and that you're not hearing from God, I know that I've got the Holy Spirit living in me, but I'm going through these trials and tribulations, and I can't hear God speaking to me. I feel like God's distant. I feel like a prodigal son or an orphan. I want you to know you're in a good spot. You know, here in the American church, we don't like suffering. We try to do everything in our power to keep from it. But God knows what's best for each one of us. And I want to encourage you this morning to embrace that. If God has got you in a dry period right now, it is a time of growth. God is going to grow you. He's going to grow you. He's going to build into you what he wants you to have in you so that you can accomplish the task that he has set for you. We're in good company when we're in those times. Jesus went through it. We're going to go through it too. And it's all good. We don't like it at the time, but whenever we get out the other side of it, guess what? We're better for it. We're more equipped to do what God's called us to do. Why would we expect to be able to do ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit? If Jesus had to have the power of the Spirit to do ministry, brothers and sisters, we've got to have the same Spirit to be able to do the same thing. I want to get to the verse that I tried to read out of order earlier in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. See, when Jesus began to do his ministry, it was foretold. At his baptism, we had an outpouring of the Spirit that enabled him to do what God had sent him to do. And the third thing here is we're going to have a revelation. It's going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed in Christ's life who he was. Christ is going to reveal himself to the people in this passage, beginning in chapter 4, verse 16 of Luke. So Jesus went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus, it was revealed to the people right then, Jesus revealed in himself that he was the Messiah. These scriptures were written about him. When we read that, we can see five things in that, when he quoted out of Isaiah there, that the Spirit of the Lord's upon him. He has anointed him to produce good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free. I want you to realize what he was saying in this. There are five things that Jesus said right here that he came to do, which was the undoing of sin in people's life. It was the undoing of sin in people's life. That's what Jesus came for. He came to set us free. The first one, sin impoverishes the people. Sin impoverishes the people. He's going to proclaim the good news to the poor. Sin makes people poor. Sin makes people poor. You might not have much money, but if you've got God in your life, you're rich. I don't care how much money you got, if you got sin in your life, you're the poorest man walking. Because all that money, all of those things that we think we need in life, all those things that we build up, that we put our faith and our trust and our hope in besides God, they mean nothing on the day of Christ Jesus. Sin impoverishes. The gospel makes us rich. The second thing is, Jesus came to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. The Bible tells us that we're either a slave to sin or we're a slave to righteousness. One or the other. There's no in between. We can't be part-time Christians. We can't be sitting on the fence. We can't be lukewarm. We're either all in or we're all out. There is no middle ground. And I want to proclaim that to y'all this morning. That if there's anybody here today that you're sitting on the fence, there is no fence. The devil owns that fence. There's one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." That's it. If you're sitting on the fence today, I'm calling you off of the fence. If you have not made that decision today to follow Jesus Christ, today is your day of salvation. God has sent me here to speak this message to you personally because he wants that relationship with you. He wants that relationship with you. Freedom. Freedom from the bondage of sin. That's what Jesus came to do. The third thing is recovery of sight to the blind. When we read that, a lot of times we're like, well, I knew Jesus came and he just spit in the dirt, mixed it up, put it on that dude's eye. He went washing the pool of Siloam, got his sight back. There's more to it than that. Sin blinds people. I was blinded by sin for a long time. I thought the things of this world were what going to bring me satisfaction. None of that. None of that brings the satisfaction. None of that fills the void of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are blinded by sin. If you're living in sin right now, the devil has you blinded. He thinks that these things, this sin, is going to be so great and it's going to feel so good and it's going to fulfill so much. But the thing about sin is it's like a black hole. You keep throwing that stuff in there, it never gets full, it never gets filled up. More and more and more. More drugs, more alcohol, more porn. More whatever it is, that hole will never be filled up. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger as we get closer and closer and closer to hell. Sin blinds us. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. Whenever you come to faith in Christ, you're able to see. And you see this great chasm a lot of times. I've been praying for it for a long time. You can see so much whenever you just really start praying and you get out of the world and you start hanging around Christian people. You start studying your Bible and spending time in prayer and spending time in connect group. And songs don't sound the same. Movies don't look the same. The songs that I used to think were really, really cool, those lyrics, they don't do it for me anymore. As a matter of fact, they're a little edgy, a little rough, stuff that I really don't want to listen to. The same TV shows and the music TV shows and the movies that I used to like. I don't like that stuff anymore. See, God's beginning, he does that. What he's doing in there is that refining fire that he's put in each one of us by this Holy Spirit to cleanse us. He's burning that old stuff out, like I said earlier. He's burning all that stuff out and he's bringing forth new ground for new growth to happen. Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. And finally, Jesus said that he came to set the oppressed free. Sin is very oppressive. There is no freedom in sin. There's no freedom in a sinful life. We think there is, but there's not. Jesus came to lift us up. Sin holds us down. Jesus lifts us up. Sin holds us in a place of bondage. Jesus came to free us from that bondage and lift us up. In that lifting up, we're able to rejoice. We're able to be filled with the Spirit, and we're able to share that Spirit with the people around us. We're able to be filled, and them wells of living water that flow up in us. And then when we're on our journey through life, that living water runs out onto the people around us. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give us opportunity to be like him, to share the gospel message, and to see other people get the same thing that we got. The opportunity for eternal life. The revelation. There's a time in your life when God reveals to you that he's calling your name. Just as in Jesus' life, there was a revelation, him to the people of, this is who God sent me. God sent me. This is what he sent me to do. I want you to know that there comes a time in your life where God, as there's a revelation in your life. When God calls your name, when he tells you, you know, you've been sitting in that pew too long. You come to church every Sunday, but you've really not given me your heart. You're living on the edge right now and or sitting on the fence and the devil owns the fence. God's going to reveal to you your day of salvation. I want you to know today that if today's the day of your salvation, then we're happy for you. We want to celebrate that with you. When we come into a time of invitation here in a little bit, I want you to come up so I can pray with you. Everybody in this room right now has a next step. I don't know what it is. You do. God does. I want you to be obedient in what God's called you to do in that next step, regardless of what it is. Whether it be salvation, whether it be join a connect group, whether it be to start getting into a discipleship triad, maybe to lead in a connect group. Maybe it's to serve on one of the serve teams. See, all of this begins, everything that Jesus did, everything in his life that he wants us to do, there's a beginning. And today I want to call you to your beginning, whatever it may be. The last thing that I want to talk about this morning is a declaration. So we had foretold the prophecy of Jesus' coming, outpouring, Jesus' anointing and our anointing, revelation, proof of his calling and fulfillment, and declaration. What is the declaration? Jesus gave us that declaration. When God declared him to be the Son of God and he sent him out into the world to proclaim freedom to the captives and sight to the blind, that's our same mission, because we're supposed to look like Jesus, right? That is our same mission. God calls us. He declares over each one of our lives. In Matthew 28, 19, we all know it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:11 tells us that we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom through we have now received reconciliation. We have been reconciled back to God through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what we were to go to proclaim to the people around us. That is why Jesus came, and if our life looks like Jesus' life, that's what we do. Plain and simple. God didn't make it hard. He made it easy. We got instructions right here. This is what Jesus did. You're supposed to look like Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you this morning, are you doing that? Anointed, brothers and sisters, you are anointed by the blood of the anointed one. It's not by oil. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that you were called, saved, washed, and able to do what God called you to do. Are you walking in that this morning? Are you walking in that anointing of blood? That blood is what gives us the power. That's what, when we're covered in that blood, God doesn't see us any longer. He sees the righteousness of Christ, and he gives us the ability to do what he's called us to do. Are you walking in that? Am I walking in that? I ask myself that regularly when I mess up opportunities to share the gospel. Lord, I failed. I failed today. I know that you told me specifically to talk to this person, and I did not do it. And God, I feel like I'm wasting the blood of Christ. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father, we are sent by the Son, John 20, 21. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. It is a command. If we're not sharing the gospel, we're being disobedient. If you're not sharing the gospel with the people in your life, your family, your coworkers, the people that serve your food, the people that work on your car, if you're not sharing the gospel with those people, you're being disobedient. When Chris Miller does not share the gospel, he's being disobedient, because God laid it out word for word. This is what I want you to do. God's Spirit, his anointing, is not for status, it is for service. God does not pour out the blood of Jesus Christ for us to get a platform, for people to like us, for us to gather wealth and gather people that follow us. Jesus Christ died on the cross and anointed us so that we could proclaim that message to the lost and dying world that we have to travel through every day. I know this message is hard this morning, y'all, I want to call y'all to more. I want to call this church to more. I want to call myself to more. The world is waiting on you. You, me, individually, not corporately. I want to speak to your individual hearts. This world is waiting on you to step into the anointing that you have in your life. They need you. They need the message that you have. They're dying and going to hell every day. We need you. They need you to stand up and walk in what Christ did for you so that you can proclaim that message to the captives and help them set free. Jesus Christ's death was the ultimate expression of love. While we were still sinners, y'all. While we were still sinners. His resurrection brings reconciliation to the Father. Proof that sacrifice was acceptable before God. That same spirit that lived in Jesus Christ, raised him from the dead, lives in each one of us that are saved, stamped, and sealed. Are we walking in that? Are we walking in the Spirit? Are we walking in that anointed life? Are we sharing that message with the people around us? I can't hit that enough. I want to tell you a story about Turkey. And the reason that my heart is so heavily burdened right now is I met a man over there that he lives this life. He lives this life. This guy is intelligent. He's a PhD. He could be anywhere teaching seminary here in the States, living a good life, making good money, a nice house, cars, whatever he wanted. He lives this out. He lives as a pauper. He is a modern day Paul. He budgets his money. What little he gets, every penny he gets is budgeted for fuel for his vehicle to go share the gospel message for Jesus. He lives in the poorest part of town in the smallest apartment that he could find. When he's not sharing the gospel message, he eats raw vegetables and raw fruit to save money to share the gospel message. I'm not telling you that's what God's called you to do, but he might have. Are you listening? He lives this life out, and I'm not glorifying this guy. I'm glorifying the way he lives and what he does, because he's doing exactly what Jesus called him to do. He has given up his life and the luxuries of this world in order to ensure that other people in a foreign country get the opportunity to go to heaven. While we were there, we met a family of farmers. I'm not going to mention their names, but I'm going to tell you there was the farmer, his wife, his dad who was blind, his mom, his aunt, his daughter, and his farmhand. We went through a farmer's market in town, and as we filtered through one morning, our guy said that he wanted us to talk to this farmer because he'd been working on this farmer for a long time. So we get up to this farmer and he says, I've been trying to get him to come to my house and eat for a long time. He said, will y'all come to my house and eat? And we said, absolutely we will. Absolutely we will. We go there on Tuesday. Phenomenal family. Phenomenal food. They made us their food. The food that they have to eat is what they cook for us. After we got done eating, we started sharing the gospel with the men. They all believed. Every one of them. Right there on the spot, we saw 3 salvations, right? We prayed with them. We held hands and prayed to our God. They prayed to our God. We got done praying with them, and the women were continuing to cook the food because they don't waste food over there. What the dough that they had made that day, they were going to continue cooking because they were going to eat it later on. They got done with that. The women wanted to hear what was being said. So they came over and they sat at the table. Our women, Macy, Casey, and Kelly, they sat there with those women and loved on them for a few minutes while the gospel was being shared. They all believed. We saw a whole family come to faith while we were in Turkey at one time, one meal. It's amazing what God's doing in the world whenever we get out of the way, be obedient to what he called us to do, and go. It may not be going to Turkey. It may not be going to Venezuela. It may not be going to Japan or China, but it might be. I want you to be obedient to what God's calling you to do, because what he calls you to do, he will carry you through. It's not about our own strength. It's about relying on that anointing. It's about relying on the power of the Spirit working in our lives to get things done. When we're open and obedient, God is able to do so much more than what you ever thought possible in your life. I want all of you to be able to see the beautiful things that I've seen God do. I want that for all of you. The beautiful thing about that farmer, our missionary guy had been working on him for 18 years. 18 years. 18 years of loving on this man. Once a month, once every few months, once every 6 months when he gets the opportunity to hang with him. Slowly planting seeds. Over a period of 18 years to get to that one point when we had the authority to speak into his life, lead him to the Lord, and now his whole family's eternity has changed. That's the long game. I want to encourage y'all to the long game with the Lord. Identify people in your life that God wants you to share the gospel message with, whether it be quick, fast, and in a hurry, or whether it be family members that are hard to deal with, family members that irritate us, that we really don't feel like being around sometimes. They need Jesus just as bad as anybody else. The long game pays off, and I got to see it in person while I was there. Last thing. Just as Jesus' life followed a divine pattern, foretold, outpoured, revealed, and declared, so does ours. It's God's Spirit that calls us. God's Spirit that anoints us, God's Spirit that refines us, and God's Spirit that sends us. The crushing, the wilderness, it's not the end. It's preparation time. It's the beginning of the flow of the oil that God wants out of your life to anoint you to do what he's called you to do. I want to remind you again that the same voice that spoke over Jesus when he was baptized, he speaks over you today. Today you are my son, today you are my daughter, and with you I am well pleased. I've got a closing challenge for us all today. Will you walk in that anointing? Will your life match Isaiah 61? To bring freedom, healing, and hope to the people of this world. The Great Commission is your declaration. I'm a child of God, and I'm going to walk this out. Your anointing, the oil on your life, was never meant to stay in the oil jar. It's supposed to rub off onto every person that we rub up against when we're walking through the marketplace. That's my challenge to y'all this morning. Folks, we're gonna go into an intentional time of prayer here this morning and an invitation. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if today's the first time you've heard the gospel message and you need to make that declaration of salvation, putting Jesus in the rightful spot in your life. But if that's you today, I want you to have the boldness to stand up and come forward. We've got people that will pray with you. I will pray with you. Every single person in here has a next step. I said earlier, I don't know what your next steps are, but everybody in here does have a next step. It may be a step to become heart and soul with the church. It may be the next step to get into a connect group. It may be the next step to join one of the serving teams out here. It may be the next step to start first-time giving so that way more people can go on gospel-centered mission trips. That's really important. I don't know what your next step is here today, but I know you've got one. And I want to call you to that next step today. Everybody in here, whatever your next step is, please be obedient to what God has for you. If you're feeling that crushing and that desert place today, I want you to come and bring it to the Lord. And I also want you, if today's the day of salvation, I want you to bring that to the Lord as well. Because today, your life can be changed for eternity. I'm going to pray for us. And I thank you for being here today. Dear God, I thank you that you are here in this place. Lord, I thank you that the power and presence of your Spirit is being poured out upon us, God. I pray that you continue to grow us, God. I pray that you call us to that next step, Lord. Call us to obedience. Make us toe the line. Lord, I pray, Father, that for those in here that are still wondering about what their next step is, I pray that you'll make that evident in their life. I pray that you'll give them the boldness to stand up and take that next step, whatever it may be. Lord, and I just ask you to bless this church, bless your people, to grow us into the image of Christ. Send us out into this lost and dying world, God, that we can proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to everyone we come in contact with. God, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory of which your name deserves. In Jesus' name, amen.